We praise the Lord this morning. We praise you, Lord. We praise not the Lord as something that's separate and distinct. We praise you, Lord, the personal Lord, the close Lord, the Lord who comes near, who grabs a hold of us, who rescues us. We praise you, Lord, the one who made us in your image. You, the one who rescues each and every one of us. You, the one who comes to live inside of us. You, the one that's taking us to be with you forever in eternity. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah! We praise you and we ask you to speak to us this morning through your word, by the power of your spirit, that we might be filled with hallelujahs from this moment on into eternity. We pray in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you want to, or you can dance in the aisle if you want to. It's a little dangerous when I come back from a conference with people from all over the world, and worship customs differ in different countries, so dancing in the aisles is not unexpected or unusual in my setting I was at for the last few days. Some people sit real still and worship with a reverent silence. Some people were a little more exuberant. Little kids taking flags of the nations and marching around as we prayed for the different nations. Loud hallelujahs. It's great to be at the College of Prayer. Well, I rolled into town about a half hour ago. I was in Atlanta for a conference of the College of Prayer. And one of the fun things about attending the College of Prayer over the last 25 years, I have friends from so many different places, not just different parts of the country, but different countries of the world. But one of the interesting things that happened as we put the names of the 20 nations up on the screen and asked people to be praying, this one gal who is Hmong, do you know what the Hmong people group is? She texted a friend, and that friend, who was over somewhere where it was 2 a.m. at the time, so I don't even know where she was, texted back and said, well, I know so-and-so that's in such-and-such country, and a dialogue happened, and so maybe two of these 20, a lead might have developed, even right then in the middle of that afternoon meeting. So we'll see what opens up. Maybe Comoros. Anybody know where Comoros is? We'll see who's fastest on there. I want to figure out where Comoros is. Why was I at this conference? It was because we exist as people to encounter Christ and help other people encounter Christ. People need to know Jesus. Without Jesus, people go into eternity without Christ. Eternity without Christ is not just hellish, it is hell itself. Only with Christ are people able to enter into paradise. And so we are the people who know Christ and have eternity with him as our future. We are on mission to tell others about Christ so that Jesus might reach out by his saving grace to save people from every tribe, people, nation, and draw them into a saving relationship. We don't do any of that in our own power or in our own strength. We only minister to nations or to neighbors out of the overflow of what Christ has done in us. So this morning I want to make a simple declaration that I hope you won't forget. It'll change the way you look at every day from here on out. The way you live the rest of your lives. And the idea is that you have freely received. Freely received. Receiving is, of course, what it means to be a creation of God. God made us. We exist because he created us. Without his creation, we are not here at all. Biologically, physically, We exist because He made us. And we continue on in a relationship with Him. We have all these things from Him that are all from Him and freely received. So we're going to talk about that, and I hope that by the end of our time together, there'll be this sense that we're just overwhelmed with gratitude and cannot help but share what we have received with others. The text we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 10. I invite you to look with me at Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, we have Jesus interacting with His disciples, sending them on their first assignment. And I want you to think about how this is a reception. This is a time of them receiving. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus called His 12 disciples to Him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles yet, or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those that have leprosy, drive out demons, and then this statement. Freely you have received, freely give. All through the Bible, God is giving, and people are receiving. Even the creation account is God speaking and nature receiving. Whether it's God saying, let there be light, and there's light. Light is received, or the separation of the waters, or the separation of the land, or the filling of the light, or the filling of the waters, or the filling of the land. It's all God speaking and receiving happening. And throughout the rest of the scripture, it's God doing, God speaking, God declaring, and people receiving. The problem is that sometimes people don't receive. I love hearing the sounds of little children. Think about the smallest of children. Think about the smallest of newborn babies. Some of the newborn babies are just born, they don't even start breathing. The doctors or the caregivers are trying to coax them to start taking their very first breath. The old style picture was a doctor holding by the dangling feet and slapping the buttocks just to give them a little startle. I think they're a little more gentle now with maybe some rubbing and brisk toweling. But the idea is that something that needs to happen hasn't happened yet. They need to receive that first breath. Or this was a shocker to me. First child wouldn't start eating, drinking, feeding. I thought that was something that just naturally happened. Baby comes out, baby gets laid on mommy's chest, and baby starts nursing. But no, he wouldn't do it. Needed coaching, help to start nursing. Come on, baby, take a gulp. Come on. And you have to help this little one develop the muscles and develop the suction. And eventually, 2 ounces, yes. The baby needed to receive nutrients. Without the ability to receive that first breath and continued breath, without the ability to receive nutrients, milk, food, there's no life. There's no life without receiving. And for you and for me, for every follower of Christ, there's no life, no spiritual life without receiving from Him. The spiritual life is only defined by receiving. See, we grow up. We think we start to get self-sufficient. I can do things on my own. I don't need to be in a posture of dependency anymore. But friends, let me tell you, that is the recipe for disaster. There's no such things as self-dependency when it comes to being a Christian. There is always Christ dependency. He is the Savior. He is the rescuer. He is the gift giver who continually pours Himself into us, speaks over us, gives grace to us, guides us moment by moment. We are continually in a posture of receiving from Him. We walk through life basically with open hands saying, Lord, give me today what I need. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. That encompasses everything. Today I need everything for this day from Him. I need guidance. I need grace. I need power. I need discernment. I need to have His wisdom. I need to have His patience. Patience. I shouldn't have said that word. I wasn't going to say that word. We had a meeting yesterday. We drove to the airport. My friend Steve Bernstein likes to cut things closer than I like to cut them. We got to the airport, walked. And they said, oh no, today don't go through here to go through screening. Go down these steps, down this long hallway, go through over here to go through screening in the Atlanta airport. Go walk. Finally get through there, get to our gate. Like 15 minutes before boarding, that's about an hour shorter than I'd like. Finally, get on our plane. Finally, get to Chicago. And flight's delayed. Finally, we get on. Flight's delayed. Finally, they say, everybody has to get off the plane. So get off the plane. So there's our little area for gate 18, and then there's this area over here for gate 17. No one's over there. Nice big table. So I go over there, and my friend Steve Bernstein likes to play cribbage. He likes it when I let him beat me. 10 straight games this last three-day period. We're going to pick a new game. This agent from a foreign airline company comes over, young punk, you need to leave this area. This area is closed. I don't think so. I'm staying right here. I'm going to play my game. Me, I said that. He goes, no, you have to leave. I'm not leaving. He goes and gets somebody else, another young person. We're closing this area. This area is now closed. My gate's right there. From here to that wall away. I'm staying here. No, you can't. I'm staying. I did that. Then they did a dirty trick. They went and got someone old. Kind of like a mom figure. She comes over. You have to leave. This area is closed. Why is it closed? If it's closed, there'll be nobody here. It'll be great. Wide open. No space. No crowding. I'm staying. You can't. I'm staying. I didn't raise my voice. I wasn't mean. Well, maybe I was mean. But I'm staying. You have to leave. I actually said this. So arrest me. That's how grumpy I was. I ran out of patience. Forgive me, Lord. And this nice lady, she says, come with me. I'll show you. And she says, I'll even open this tape. And I'll open this tape. Come with me. And we go over to this other area. There's this nice, big, long table. like from here to the front doorway. You can sit at this table and play. She was so nice, so I apologized to her. But I run out of patience in my natural. I need every day to receive from Christ the characteristics of Christ, the aspects of Christ. In my flesh, I can do nothing. I must receive from Christ everything. Salvation is a gift from Christ. John 1:12. But to all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. You only are saved as you receive. And when you pray, you receive. You receive. Jesus said in Luke 11, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And the one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. What's prayer? Prayer is not just asking. Prayer is receiving. We need a whole new image of prayer. If you made this mistake, which some of us did, of taking your kids and saying, here, sit on Santa's lap and ask him for something, and your kids go away thinking, okay, that's how this thing works. I ask this scary old man for something, and then I have this hope and desire that I'll get it, and then I don't, and I have this disappointment that I have to deal with, and so my sense of what prayer is forever warped. We need to have a cleansing from that and receive a true image of what prayer is. What is prayer? Think of Jesus inviting us into the throne room where Jesus is declaring, this is the will of God. And as Jesus is declaring the will of God, as He's in the throne room of heaven, we're sitting in there, we're worshiping Him, we're listening to Him declare the very Word of God, the very will of God, and we say, yes, what You said, what You just said is the will of God. I want that thing that's declared in heaven to happen on earth. That's prayer. It's agreeing with God on the will of God that the Word of God has revealed. It's receiving that. Prayer is receiving. And then we bear fruit. We go through life obeying God, praying God's will, receiving God's fruitfulness in our lives. In John chapter 15, Jesus is teaching and He says, abide in Me and I will abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in Me and I in him, he is the one that bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. We receive everything, even the fruit in our lives, from Him. At the end of His ministry, after Jesus called the disciples into a ministry and gave them their names, gave them their calling, gave them their role as His disciples, as we read from Matthew chapter 10, as He listed them off and said, you are My disciples, you are My disciple, you are My disciple. At the end of His ministry with them, He says, receive now My very Spirit. Wait here until I give it to you. And as I give you the very Spirit, then you will receive the power, and then you will receive the anointing, and then you will receive the guidance, so that you will go and you will be My witnesses. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. It's first a calling into relationship, then it's a calling into an anointed role with Him, and then it's a calling into a receiving of the very empowering of the Spirit. It's all about receiving. We walk this out, receiving, receiving, receiving. But some of us have a hard time receiving. Some of us have been lied to. You don't deserve to receive from God, Satan says to some of us. You've screwed up so many times. You don't deserve any more from God. Or other people here, well, that's so selfish of you to just always want to receive more from God. Who are you to expect God to keep pouring into your arms? Part of the lie of that is this health, wealth, and prosperity gospel that promises the world and its worldly things to people. Isn't it interesting that the things Satan uses to distract people from pursuing the kingdom are the very things that the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel promises to people? It's a great delusion of the truth of the gospel. No, we surrender our lives. We open our arms up. We say, God, I want you. I don't want the things the world offers. I want to receive you. And then we willingly say, Lord, give me what I need to bring you glory today. Give me the guidance. Give me the empowerment. Give me the discernment. Give me the words to say. Give me the open doors to do ministry. And here's a big one. Love. God wants you to receive His love. God wants you to hear Him say, I love you. God wants you to hear Him say, you're my son. You're my daughter. And I cherish you. Think about how Psalm 16 ends. Last verse of Psalm 16. It's verse 11. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. That's something we receive. And you will fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasures at your right hand. There is a sense of being in God's presence, being with Him, being guided by Him on this path of life, walking it with Him. And as we're on that journey with Him, we're filled with joy. We have a sense of eternal pleasure, far beyond anything the world could offer, far beyond anything that the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel could tempt us with. We receive everything God has for us. And the most important thing is a sense of God's love for us. So I'd like you to take a risk and change one aspect of your prayer this morning as we conclude. I'd like you to, instead of folding your hands, put your hands into cups. Then close your eyes and say, God, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I admit that I need to receive. And by faith, I receive you as my Savior. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your cleansing. I receive your love. I receive the imputation of your righteousness. I receive that you are making me, you have made me right in your eyes as you have washed me clean. I receive that from you. And I receive now all that is necessary for life and for godliness. And I receive now the Holy Spirit to fill me, guide me, empower me. I receive my calling as your disciple. My name is on a list somewhere, right along with these 12 guys that we read off. My name is on your list. I receive my sense of belonging. I receive my calling as one of yours. And I receive your plan for my future. I receive the fruit that you have for me to bear for you. I receive the friends you want me to journey with. I receive the family you want me to walk through life with. And I receive pleasure that's beyond worldly pleasure, that's eternal pleasure. Pleasures forevermore at your right hand. Pleasures from being in your presence. Joy that's deep down eternal, heaven-created joy. And I receive the full measure of your love. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in every word of the Holy Scriptures, by faith in the work of the indwelling, sanctifying Holy Spirit, I receive all that God has for me, that I might live a life that brings Him great glory, that at the end of my earthly existence, I might offer myself as an offering before Him, and might hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come and enter your reward," that my life might bring joy to the Father. I pray this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.